This morning for scripture reading, I'd like you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 19. Luke, chapter number 19. Luke 19, we're going to read verses 29 through 44. Luke 19, verses 29 through 44. Then we'll have a word of prayer and listen to a song called His Life for Me. Luke chapter 19, verses 29 through 44. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent their way, went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as soon as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven, and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee around, and keep thee in on every side. And they shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. I want you to notice especially in verse number 42, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, an emphasis on the last phrase here, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Let's pause for a moment of prayer, please, this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for your word we have to preach. Thank you for God's people gathering in their own place this morning to listen over the internet as we preach your word. I pray the Holy Spirit would minister to our hearts. I pray the Holy Spirit would fill me and use me. And we pause to pray for our nation. Lord, people around the world that have contracted this virus, I pray for their health, their recovery. I pray for our health care workers that you'd protect them. Father, I pray that you'd give our national leaders wisdom to make the right choices. And Lord, I pray that through this, they, our leaders, and the people of our nation would look toward you for your help, for you to lift us out of this financial strait we find ourselves. Lord, I pray that you'd just direct in our nation that especially we, as your people, might be able to lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and honesty. Now bless this message, challenge our hearts, for we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. What great words, his life for mine. The triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus Christ very shortly thereafter became a time of rejection of who Jesus Christ was. I want you to notice again the passage of Scripture that we've read this morning, and I hope you have your Bibles open, or some of you your phones, and shut off the text, all right? And let's just watch the Scripture this morning. Luke chapter number 19, and then if you would drop down to verse number 42 again. Let me back up, I'll read verse 41 as well. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. I've been preaching this year in our morning services on having a greater vision in 2020. I certainly never envisioned that we would be experiencing anything like what we're experiencing today due to the spread of the coronavirus. I never cared for her anyway. But the coronavirus, perhaps several who deal with the spread of disease have been anticipating an outbreak like this, but most of us were probably blind to it. We cannot see the future except through the prophecy of Scripture, but often people are blinded in the present. Sometimes people are blinded because they can't see. Other times people are blinded because they won't see. Physical blindness can be caused by many things. Leading causes of blindness would be macular degeneration, glaucoma, complications from diabetes, injuries, infections, and cataracts, among others. When I was growing up, there was a boy who had that we used to play with as a young kid, and he had one eye crossed, and it was that eye was blinded. His vision had been impaired from an accident with BB guns. He and some others were playing cowboys and Indians with BB guns, and he got hit in the eye. The eye was crossed after that and blinded as a result. I know you're thinking about the Christmas movie right now, so let's get back to the message, all right? When she was in her 70s, my mom had a stroke in her eye and lost a lot of the vision in that one eye. I remember as Mrs. Carter here in our church aged, she was continually losing more of her eyesight due to macular degeneration. It was a real heartbreak to her when she could no longer read the Scripture for herself. And she had Heidi and others read the Scripture to her. And I know this morning, Heidi, you really missed that time with her. Those who develop cataracts begin experiencing the loss of vision. And thank God, in developed nations like ours, there is surgery to correct the vision loss due to cataracts. And what a blessing it is for us in this day that there's medicine to help with glaucoma. I was with my son the other day driving down the road, and we spotted a gentleman walking with a special cane for blind people. And I told him how that this man used to work with another of my sons, but has since lost his vision due to medical complications. It's sad to see that. People who had been able to see can lose their vision and become blind. But there's a greater blindness than physical blindness. Spiritual blindness is the worst loss of vision one could ever experience. Today, in line with the series on having a greater vision in 2020, I want to speak on blinded vision. Blinded vision. When Jesus entered Jerusalem at what is called the triumphal entry, he wept over Jerusalem's rejection and unbelief. Many of the multitude that heralded Jesus as king would shortly join the rebellious, rejecting chant of crucify him, crucify him. And then they would look on him whom they had pierced. The act of rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ as their promised Savior would be the ultimate display of unbelieving hearts. Jesus said to them in verse 42 of Luke chapter 19, "If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this day, the things which belong unto thy peace," read that last phrase with me, please, "but now they are hid from thine eyes." Their vision had been blinded. They were blinded spiritually. They were blinded because of rebellion against God, because of unbelief in God's word and rejection of the truth in Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." God's purpose in calling Abraham was to bless all the families of the earth through his seed. That promise was undoubtedly to bring forth Jesus Christ through the Jewish family to be the Savior of the world. Within that promise to Abraham, God promised Israel to be a perpetual nation. The Old Testament is flooded with promises of the coming Savior, both for Israel and for all the world. It was promised that one would come who would deliver Israel and rule from the throne of David and be a light unto the Gentiles. Thank God for that. These promises had been given as prophetic visions through the prophets. Believing Jews had looked and waited for the fulfillment of God's promises. Do you remember following his resurrection when Jesus walked with the two on the road to Emmaus? In Luke 24, verse 19, it says, "And he said unto them, what things?" They were troubled. "What things?" "And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." You see, the Old Testament promises pointed to the coming Savior, the Redeemer, the Deliverer for Israel, the Savior for the world. The Gospel of Luke records how that Simeon had waited for the coming of the Savior and recognized the baby Jesus as the fulfillment. He had clear vision. Thank God for people like Joseph and Mary. They never lost their vision. They were looking for a Savior, and God used them to bring the Savior into the world. However, many Jewish people had become distracted to idolatry and to false teachings. Their vision had been blinded to God and to his promises. Going back after the destruction of Jerusalem, and in the days of Zerubbabel, a remnant had returned and turned to God. But over time, their man-made system drew them away from the person of God and the purity of Scripture, the Scripture alone. When synagogues were built during the intertestament period, there still seemed to be a spiritual blindness. The Apostle Paul wrote these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, he wrote, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart." Because of rebellion and unbelief, and replacing Scripture with man's words, their hearts became blinded to the promises of God. when the Son of God did appear, as we read in this chapter, fulfilling all the prophecies concerning his birth, the leaders of the Jews, content and satisfied with their role among the Jewish people under the Roman government, rebelled against the truth of who Jesus was. Their hard-hearted minds, their unbelieving hearts, and their envy over leadership of the people blinded them to the person of Jesus Christ. During the triumphal entry that we read in the beginning of the service, while the crowd was crying, as is recorded in the Gospels, and this is what they cried if you read the different Gospel accounts. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David, that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. While the crowd was crying those exclamations about Jesus, the Pharisees, envious, rebellious, unbelieving, commanded Jesus, Master, rebuke thy disciples. But once Jesus was inside the city of Jerusalem, knowing as omniscient God their hearts, and having heard the Pharisees jealously, enviously, contemptuously, and hatefully cry out to him, Master, rebuke thy disciples, Jesus, weeping, said, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children with thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. They were blinded. Now they're hid from thine eyes. Their rebellion toward God and their unbelief had reached its apex. They rejected Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as their Redeemer and King. The Lord later had the Apostle Paul write in Romans chapter 11 and verse 25, For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Blindness in part is happened to Israel. One day, the Jewish eyes will be miraculously opened to the divine person of Jesus Christ, the ever-living Son of God. But think of the harm that has been caused by their blindness. They cried to Pilate when demanding Jesus Christ be crucified, Let his blood be upon us and our children. Even today, they have religion without the righteousness of God that comes only through faith in Jesus Christ. But let's think about the process of blinded vision for a few moments. First, there's the step of rebellion toward God. Follow the history of Israel recorded in the Old Testament, and you'll see a history of rebellion against God. Look at your own life, and you'll see a history of rebellion against God. The first thing toward blinded vision is a step of rebellion toward God. People rebel even today at God's authority. We will not have this man to rule over us. The step of rebellion in the process toward blinded vision. Then there's the rejection of God's word. Unbelief. People reject what God commands. They say, no, you might have said that in your word, but I don't believe. I don't believe it's your word. I don't believe you're God. I don't believe you created the world. I don't believe I'm accountable to you. But the Bible doesn't change. There's a rejection of God's word, unbelief. And that unbelief creates a void in a person's mind and heart and soul. Then comes, in the process of blinded vision, acceptance of that which is false. Acceptance of that which is false. Deception, if you please. A deceived person believes that which has deceived them. But they've believed the wrong thing. The acceptance of false teaching. It fills the void when people rebel against God and when they say no to what God's word says and they don't believe. I am the Christ. I am He, Jesus said. When they don't believe it, there's a void that's open, and then people begin accepting false teaching. Think of evolution. The acceptance of false teaching about the origin of the universe. Because people rebelled against God, did not believe His word. You know, the scientific accuracy of creation is seen in that it takes someone to observe science. It's not science if it's not observable. And God observed the creation and wrote about it in Genesis chapter 1. But people reject, rebel against God, reject what God's word says, and so it opens a void and they accept hook, line, and sinker false teaching that presents itself as intellectualism. The void is left. Acceptance of false teaching and people open up to error. That's what false religion is. Rebellion against God, rejection of God's word, a void left, and they accept false teaching. Then blinded vision takes over. Blinded vision takes over. They begin following error in darkness, ultimately toward destruction. You know, people who are blinded can be led to almost any destination or conclusion. Would you take your Bible just for a moment? Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We believe in a rapture. We as Christians will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air when the trumpet sounds. Then there'll be 7 years of tribulation on this earth. We'll be with the Lord Jesus in heaven. But after the rapture takes place, this world is going to experience change. I think things are changing now. Wait till we're gone. And after the rapture takes place, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6 through 12, would you look at it with me, please? Verse 6, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Speaking of the Antichrist to be revealed, and what hinders it now. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit is holding back the full unleashing of the power of the Antichrist, whomever that may be, whenever he may be here. And in verse number 8, it says, and then, when the Holy Spirit in the life of believers is taken up with the Lord, to meet the Lord in the air, then shall that wicked one, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now listen. When people rebel against God and reject what God's word says, they have a void that will accept false teaching, and blindness takes over. Look at this next verse. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the work of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause, verse 11, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all may be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. When people rebel against God and reject God's word in unbelief, they open up to accept false teaching, which leads them in blindness and darkness to destruction. Notice the steps going backward from this passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, going backward from verse 12. Damned because, verse 12, they had pleasure in unrighteousness. They loved that which was wrong. Believed not the truth. Verse 11, believed a lie. Were sent strong delusion. The word delusion means a wandering, a straying, led astray from the right way. Wrong opinion relative to morals and religion. Strong delusion. Verse number 10, they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, and were deceived in unrighteousness, deceivableness of unrighteousness, deceived in unrighteousness. It's interesting how deceptive wrong behavior can be. The devil uses that tool with those always beautiful advertisements. You know, the beautiful woman with the liquor bottle, they don't show the drunk in the city streets that I've seen and tried to witness to for Christ. They don't show the end. They flaunt a beautiful beginning. That's deceivableness of unrighteousness. When people reject the truth of God's word and the person of Jesus Christ, their minds and their souls, listen, are blinded. Blinded. That's right. If you in your heart have said no to God's word and no to Jesus Christ, you don't know it, but you're blinded. You're being led in darkness right now. People whose vision has been blinded are easily led and deceived by false thinking. Think of the people, the triumphal entry. They had been exposed to the reality of God and God's word, but they rejected God's authority, rebelled against it, didn't believe his word, rejected Christ, the truth. Deceived by false thinking. People whose vision has been blind, have been blinded, cannot see that God is the creator unto whom they are accountable. People whose vision has been blinded cannot see that their pathway leads to destruction. People whose vision has been blinded cannot rest in the promises of God because they're not looking through the eyes of faith. People who are not saved remain in spiritual darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse says, 4 verse says, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds. Blinded the minds. The God of this world. That's Satan. The prince of the power of the air. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Blinded vision. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in unto them. The wonderful thing is, the Bible says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Blinded people need God's word. The entrance of God's word gives light. It's like going into a dark room with 1,000 lumen light. and what brightness it brings to a room. I like the lighting in our auditorium. It's bright. The Word of God is that when it comes into the heart and mind of a person, it opens up their understanding when they're in darkness. One psalm says, "Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law." People don't need our arguments and just our ideology. They don't need us to show how much knowledge we have. They need us to show them the Word of God. And friend, listen to me. If you don't know Jesus Christ, don't look for some intellectual answer. Let the Word of God open your eyes and bring you out of darkness. Hebrews 11:3 says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Through faith we understand. We have illumination in our minds to understand God is the Creator through faith. Not something we muster up. God said it. Here, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And we believe it. And by believing what God said, we have understanding. People say, "You show me and I'll believe." No, you believe, God will show you. You open your eyes to the Word of God. Let the Word of God sink in. Our troubled world has blinded vision because it's looking through the wrong lens. Young people get blinded vision because they often look through the lens of what's popular and not the lens of God's principles. My dad said years ago, when people say, "I can't see what's wrong with this or that. I can't see what's wrong with drinking. I can't see what's wrong with sex outside of marriage. I can't see what's wrong with not going to church." My dad would say, people who say they can't see are admitting that they're blind. The characteristic of a blind person is he can't see. Young people get blinded vision because they look through the lens of what's popular, not the lens of God's principles. Listen, open your eyes to what God says. That's what matters. Christian, you may be overwhelmed with anxiety this morning, and your vision's blurred because you're looking through the lens of the flesh and of the mind instead of the lens of faith in God and His Word. You may have been touched by the Lord and received His salvation, but you need to let Him touch your spiritual eyes again to see life and eternity clearly. I think of the story. Let me just read it. In Mark 8:23, He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, "I see men as trees walking." After that, he put his hands up again upon his eyes and he made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. Maybe the Lord's touched you in salvation, but you've let your life become clouded, your vision blinded or blurred because you're looking at things from the world's vantage point. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Interesting passage of Scripture dealing with this aspect of blinded vision is 2 Peter chapter 1. And let me say this, if you are not continuing to grow as a Christian, maybe this time, this downtime has allowed you to drift spiritually. I hope not. But if you're not continuing to grow as a Christian, you will have blinded vision and will stumble from the right pathway. Fact. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5 says, listen to this. "Beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. He that lacketh these things. If you're not adding to your salvation the things described in that passage, virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity, if you're not adding these things through the power of the Holy Spirit, then the Bible says, he that lacketh these things is blind. Christian, if you're not growing, you're becoming blind spiritually, and you'll be led astray. It says, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. God help us. God help us if we don't grow and continue to grow spiritually, and we let our eyes spiritually become blinded, so that we forget that we've been washed in our sins and we may begin to wallow in them once again. Blind. At the triumphal entry, because of rebellion against God, unbelief in his word, and rejection of the truth in Jesus Christ, the Jews of Jesus' day had blinded vision. With blinded vision, they ultimately chose Barabbas, the thief, to be released to freedom over Jesus, the sinless Savior, the healer, the friend. Let me say, Jesus can heal those with blinded vision. In Luke 18, verse 35, it says, it came to pass, as he was come nigh to Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. Jesus can heal your blinded vision. I remember a few years ago, right in the hallway down from our auditorium, down by my office there, I remember how heart-touching it was when little Joel Balos got his first pair of glasses. He was absolutely amazed at the world he was seeing. He couldn't get enough of it. He looked around with amazement, the colors of the carpet. He was amazed at what he had not been seeing, but now could see with the right lens. It was sweet. It was touching. In fact, the Balos family and I, after church a few weeks ago, we stood out in the hallway and talked about that. And Joel remembers. Once the right lenses were in front of his eyes, he saw clearly. Get the right lens. Turn your eyes to God's righteousness. Open your eyes to his word. Let it truly be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Do you have blinded vision? Open your eyes to the truth of God's word. Look to Jesus today. Let him open your spiritual eyesight. You'll be amazed at how different the world will seem. John Newton, the one whom everyone knows to have written Amazing Grace, John Newton wrote these words, "I saw one hanging on a tree. In agony and blood, he fixed his languid eyes on me as near his cross I stood. Sure never till my latest breath can I forget that look. It seemed to charge me with his death, though not a word he spoke. My conscience felt and owned the guilt and plunged me in despair. I saw my sins his blood had spilt and helped to nail him there. Alas! I knew not what I did, but now my tears are vain. Where shall my trembling soul be hid? For I the Lord have slain." A second look he gave which said, "I freely all forgive. This blood is for thy ransom paid. I die that thou mayst live." Oh, can it be? Upon a tree, the Savior died for me. My soul is thrilled. My heart is filled to think he died for me. If you're blinded today, look to Jesus. He can save your soul. Christian, he can open your eyes to a clear pathway once again. With our heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment, we're going to listen to a song in just a moment. But with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, is there anyone under the sound of my voice who would say, "Pastor Whitman, I'm in darkness. I can't say that I'm saved. If I died today, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. But I believe that Jesus Christ loves me, lived for me, died for me, rose again for me. And today, I want to invite him into my heart to be my Savior. I turn from sin and what I've trusted to put my faith in the sinless Savior and ask him to come into my heart. I want to do that now. Do it. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I believe my sin would send me to hell. But I do believe you love me, lived for me, died for me, rose again for me. Offering me eternal life, I invite you into my heart to save me now. Thank you, Jesus." Christian, I want you to know that if you've become blinded, there's a balm in Gilead. Listen to the words of these songs, this song.
For the saint who's gone astray, for the sinner blind and searching, for the child in need of faith, for the homeless and forsaken, for the hungry and the cold, for the prisoner and the captive, for the young and for the old, there is a remedy. For every sin takes all their Christ.
hope you'll find that remedy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining me this morning. I look forward to having you with me tonight. And let's continue to be in prayer for our nation. If you have any things that you need me to pray about, just email me at pastor@bcbaptistchurch.org or text me, those of you who have my phone number, and I'll certainly be glad to pray with you. And listen, don't walk in darkness. Jesus is the light. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here this morning. I pray you'd bless our people. Lord, I sure miss seeing them as I preach your word. And Lord, I pray that you just keep us all faithful, that we'd come back together and serve you like you want us to and have an impact in this area. Lord, if there's anybody that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, I pray today they'd put their faith in Christ, believing he died and rose again for them, calling upon him. For you said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Bless our folks, we pray. Bless our nation. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. See you tonight.